Call to order. Roll call, city council is all present. And...
And the planning and zoning will call theirs to order.
Okay.
Waterville Planning and Zoning. Phil and Bernie and Brad Furch are present. Rick Trigger and Chip Mack are absent.
All right. Pledge allegiance here.
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, approval of the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda is written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number three, our floodplain ordinance revision. I think Teresa's got some things to tackle on here. I think we just updated a few things, right?
So the drafts that you were provided, everything in blue is state edits to the floodplain ordinance. Everything in black is federal. Highlighted in red or green are questions. So I hope you all have had an opportunity to review it. So I think what we'll do is just tackle our edits and kind of talk about them, and then if you have any other edits that you wish to propose. So after we're done reviewing this, we'll send up a final draft to the state, and then they will have to review it. And when they give us their blessing, then we can start our hearing process. So Jason, do you want to just go down them, or would you want me to?
You've got a pretty good handle. I mean, the majority of this stuff, we really don't have a whole lot of say over it. Flood insurance is regulated by the federal government, so they have their standards in order for them to issue insurance on a particular structure. We essentially cannot deviate much from the federal regulations. We can always make those regulations a little tighter, but we certainly can't lessen or reduce them.
So if we just want to go ahead and start, the first edit I have on my screen is 2.124, and it's under definitions. Our old floodplain ordinance did not include the area that was stricken out in red, so we're proposing that it remain out.
And the state is fine with that.
Do we need to do individual motions on these, or can we do this as a whole?
Okay. As we go along, if anyone has any questions about them, let us know. But I think at the end, what we'll do is we'll just make a motion to recommend what you guys tell us to recommend.
Okay.
Okay. So the next one that are in blue there are state edits, so we don't have any concerns with that.
That's 2.213.
Yeah, and then so we'll jump down to.
Before we leave that page, you did have some comment on 2.118, the critical facilities.
Yes, that is some new language that the states and the feds have recommended.
And what happens to lift stations in that? Isn't that considered a critical facility?
A lift station would be.
And where would that fall under? Just
it's under
example of, go ahead.
It's under essential facilities.
So
I would take that to be an essential facility.
I would. That's very critical. Yeah. And so that's listed. I mean, you've got the examples of electrical substations, and you've proposed to include the word substations. Right?
Yeah, this is the state's verbiage.
Yeah, those are simply examples. If you would want us to add a lift station, we certainly can.
Well, they've got examples in other areas, I guess I would suggest that that maybe be listed along with the other examples.
What stations? Okay.
We can both do it so we can.
I just don't want to lose editorial control. So you're going to add it?
Right.
No, you add it.
Oh, okay.
You're the last one that dealt with this. So.
Okay. All right. So.
I'd put it right after healthcare facilities.
No, I just put it right at the end.
There you go. I'm fine.
It's easier to do it that way.
And that 2124 where you have, you said we don't, it's not in our ordinance?
No, it's not in our current floodplain ordinance. So it's additional language that they've added. And since it's in black, it may not be a portion that we can edit, but we would send it up to say we don't want it in there.
Okay.
And I can tell you that flood fringe is defined by, I'm going to call it CFR, but it's Code of Federal Regulations. That's federal.
So it's just the part that was kind of in the blue
in the
highlight
red.
That.
Yeah, that's stricken out in red.
Okay.
And then 2.130, not an issue with that. 2.131, I do like that language because it incorporates it further down when you're talking about RVs and towables. And it says it has to be moved by a light truck, so you know, you're making sure you don't have to bring a semi in order to get it, so just about anybody can get it out of the area of the flood if need be. So I'm recommending no changes at all on that. So 2.139, I do like the language that they have in there for repetitive loss. So what this essentially does is it allows property owners who have had flood damage over a number of periods of time to be able to use the increased cost of compliance section of their insurance. And then that helps them bring their structure into code and bring it up. So by having this language in ours, it gives the property owner a little more availability to access funds in case they continue to flood. So we're advising that we leave that in there. And that was not currently in our ordinance prior. Section 3.13, we just edited in Planning and Zoning Commission / Board of Adjustments. So we're just adding that in. 3.2, we just added in the location, which is City Hall is where it would be kept.
On that one? You've got July 17 of 24. Well, what's that?
That's the new map.
Yeah.
They're coming up. The new map.
That's the new one that's effective.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have those maps yet?
I have a draft of them.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
3.32. We're just taking that same language out as what was previously on.
Deals with the flood fringe.
Yep. Section 4.12, leave as the state has recommended.
There's no dollar minimum, like, I mean, a $500 repair or addition is excluded, or any dollar required permit.
As reference to this, the construction.
Permit, yeah.
This is just for fences, pools, decks. So there is, in reference to your question, it does talk about if your house is non-compliant further in the ordinance. If it's non-compliant and it sustains damage of 50% or more, or if it's approved 50% more of the value, it has to become compliant.
Either way, it requires permit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Not necessarily.
Oh.
Right now, we only do zoning. So we're only doing property lines or if you extend up. So if they have to elevate their structure, yes, it does require a permit. But if they do a simple remodel within the home, we have no way of tracking that at this time. But additions and that kind of thing, yes.
A rebuild.
What do they consider a farm fence?
Farm fence, there's a description up there, basically a metal fence. With slat or kind of like
in other words, a regular wire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, not what I would class as a privacy fence though. And there is a description on what a farm fence is up on the description.
Yeah, I believe.
And the definition just got that. So. 2.1.2.2.
Says an open type of fence with posts and horizontally run wire. So, like Teresa said, it would not be a privacy fence. Basically like page wire or barbed wire.
Okay, so critical facilities, 4.33. I do not have any modification on that. Taking that
as. Jason must add something on that one. He talked about that 2 foot. Seems a little generous. He was proposing 3 to 4.
Well, I was thinking it should be a little bit higher, but Teresa and I chatted about that since Friday. I think I made that comment on Friday. I think we're fine with 2 feet. Yeah. I think we'll just leave it at the 2 feet. You okay with that?
Yep, I am fine with that.
I mean, we don't want to make it 4 feet because then all of a sudden it's too onerous, but then again, you certainly don't want it at the BFE level, the base flood elevation. I mean, you want your critical facilities in the future to be built higher than that flood level, so. That's kind of what we're getting at there.
Yeah. And our current flood level again is 105.1.
Depends on which location, Sakata or Tatanka, they vary.
Yeah, because on the river where I am, we're 15 feet above the floodplain.
On 5.15, this is a Jason edit, they would require a CUP under section 5.32.
That gives you guys some control over it.
And then
on that one, Jason referenced, you know, adding the permitted by city. Aren't all of those in 5.1 a permitted by city applicable? Or
not necessarily.
Not.
This just bullets it up and adds a little extra verbiage that it will be. It must be permitted by the city.
And so, like a levee or a dike could be just approved by DNR and not by the city. That means they have to notify us if correct. They're going to be doing something. And then 5.25 is a requesting to strike that edit totally.
That goes to creating a warning system. And the majority of your floodplain here in Waterville is not what we would classify as floodplain. It's flood fringe. And I don't know as if you guys want to get in the business of issuing evacuation notices and requirements, not under this ordinance anyway.
So I would see this being more applicable in a flash flood scenario, like down by Whitewater State Park down there, that floods in an instant. You know, it takes then I could see having some type of advance notification, especially if you're in a campground or so on. And we already require our campgrounds to have an evacuation notice if their campers are, or evacuation plan if their campers are below the level. So, but I don't, you know, our type of flooding isn't instantaneous. So I don't know that then you would need to require them to have a flood warning system. Um, 5.26, we are just editing out the last portion of that. So it would just stop at water, flood waters. Um, 5.31, we are removing that one totally. 5.41, we would be removing that. 5.42 would remain as suggested by the state. 5.42 you probably have a highlighted area on 6.21. So there's been a little bit of a change, and I did do some checking on this. So currently our ordinance requires 50 feet of what I call backslope on any structure built within the flood zones. So the state came back and said that it's not, it's only required on residential structures. It's not no longer needed on accessory structures and that kind of thing. So in this one, when they talk about residential structures, you'll see that they're keeping the 15 feet. When you get down further, they have removed that portion from accessory structures or non-residential structures. And then we are also on 6.21, taking out everything after figure one. I do like the fact that they have included some drawings.
Yep.
It makes it a lot easier for an individual to see and actually look at. Internal flood proofing, subsection 4, 6.22 probably. So we are just doing conversion. We will be striking out as well as periodic inspections.
Still require the deed restrictions.
Mm-hmm. So we won't be going out and checking everybody all the time.
So the two comments that you had just before that with regarding checking, one of them checking with CC, which must be someone at the state.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the outcome of the 6.21?
6.21.
Communicating. Both of you suggested.
Oh, that's the 15 feet.
15 feet of fill would only apply on residential properties. It wouldn't apply to accessory structures.
That's what you were, okay. Yep. And this falls under the heading of residential
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
So, okay.
Mm-hmm. So that 15-foot requirement of fill would not apply to like a storage shed or a garden shed or a utility shed. It only applies to residential structures.
And garage as well then, of course, regular garage.
Well, would it be only with an attached garage?
I would tend to agree.
Yeah.
Detached garage, the 15-foot.
Those are not residential.
No.
What if they got living quarters in garage?
There are garages around here that got living quarters in it. And if there's somebody living in it, then it takes on the residential aspect.
It goes back under the residential.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct.
Yeah, it's like an apartment or whatever.
And the thought on that is do we really want to be requiring the people to backfill 15 feet for a storage shed? I don't think so.
No.
So the reason why my note was on that one is because they were trying to discourage putting additional fill in a flood fringe area.
That area.
And so they felt comfortable in not the state not putting in the fact on the sheds, but they still wanted impact with the residential. Scrolling, I should have brought my notes in. Internally flooded, I think we just went through that one, that we won't be inspecting, you know, just have the deed restrictions. So I did some checking on this particular one. So I would like to have vehicle access at the base flood elevation, not 1 foot below. That means, you know, all your access into your properties are going to be high and dry. And if we require that, and we're taking out the flood warning section then, so there wouldn't need to be anything that. I did have a response from the state on that one. And she said that it's a good idea, at least for collector roads. The only caveat is that the roads are in a floodway area or a zone A where the floodway is not determined. You would need to make sure that the road met the no rise, which that's already in standard. So that was her question. So I would like to see that 1 foot taken out. You know, with our experience here, we have people who can't get to their homes. Their homes are high and dry, but you can't get to the them because of the vehicle access or the road access. So, and it also, by keeping up about the flood elevation, keeps all the harmful chemicals from, you know, being stored. If they're stored there, then, you know, they don't get washed away and that kind of thing also. Section B. We have no edits on that. So I have nothing on that section B that we would be editing.
On 625, that's the same language as 525. We deleted 525. What am I missing that we wouldn't then also delete that same language on 625?
So which section did you say? 625?
625. It's there, but it's in black, so it's federal.
Uh-huh.
But on 525, it's deleted, which was what? State? Red was a proposed edit. Yeah. But maybe we...
And was that my note on there to compare? I think I had a note on there to compare language.
You do? Okay. Thank you.
So I'll just make sure that they are 625 and...
525.
And 525. And don't contradict.
Right.
Okay, we will
review that. Thank you. I think 625 is going towards like an emergency shelter.
That may be.
We don't have one.
No, we don't.
Yeah. I think 6.25.
Okay.
Bill is going to, if we have an evacuation structure or an evacuation center.
Well, I mean, because starting with 6.2, yeah, flood fringe district is section 6, so this is a subsection of that. Flood fringe district, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what 625 would be a sub under?
No, 625 is talking about having a flood warning system in place if you have an evacuation center. That's how I would think.
How do you conclude that, Jason? Where do you see that it talks about a flood evacuation center?
It says any facilities used by employees or the general public must be designated with a flood warning system applicable to the city of Waterville that provides adequate time for evacuation.
Which is 525 is that exact same language. Providing evacuation. But you said you were going to review it for reference.
Yeah, we'll compare the languages.
Compare that language.
And make sure one's not talking about floodway and one's talking about flood fringe.
Oh, yeah.
Because then floodway is totally different than flood fringe.
Yep, yep. That
I'm thinking that's what the difference is.
Yeah, I bet you it is.
I think it is.
You just caught my eye that all this identical language.
625 is under the fringe, yep. Fringe category.
Yep. Right.
Yep, that's probably what it will be. Thank you.
I'm not sure if I got my spot here.
You talked about
742, I think we're on.
Okay, that's where I was headed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, I had no edits in 742 on B. Is just management rights and laying out the process. I didn't make any changes on that. So everything that's in blue in section 11 stays. Section 12 stays. And so section 12 talks about the nonconformities that I was speaking of earlier. And so the goal is to try to get all of the structures above the flood elevations.
Mm-hmm.
When they first came out with the study, they thought that would have been accomplished by now, and it hasn't. So there's a lot of entities and lots of structures still out there, not just in Waterville, that have not become compliant. So those were the edits that we had.
What was it? What is substantial improvements?
50% of the value.
That's still the 50%?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. The 50% triggers that. And it goes off of, so when we look at that, we look at what the assessed value is and then what their improvement's going to be.
You have one other one back here that you were, that Jason was talking about back on 813.
813?
Yeah. And Teresa was then, Jason and I commented, and Teresa, you talked about maybe that we then put the access at 1 foot. And yet we struck the 1 foot on 624. Is that back to the fringe versus the...
You're talking 6.1 again?
That 624.
Okay.
References that 1 foot below, and then 813.
So that's under subdivisions. So a new subdivision, yeah. Might
be the difference then.
No. So we would. Oh, that was my question on it. I didn't do that. No. So I don't want to see those below the regular flood either. So we would be talking about at the base flood elevation. So a similar language. So a new development would require their roads to be collector roads to be placed at.
BFD.
The BFD, yeah.
So not the one foot below.
Right.
Yep.
questions?
So do both the council and they have to approve it separately? We don't do it?
No, so the council would just be approving the ordinance.
Okay.
Because the planning and zoning would typically make a recommendation to the council, but you're both sitting here at the same time.
Gotcha.
So we'll just...
Probably looking for a motion to... Go ahead.
I'll make a motion that we approve ordinance 152 floodplain management.
As revised?
As revised. And this would be the first reading.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Now we'll need to call for the public hearing.
So I think we're going to have to hold off on that, though.
Okay.
Just because I don't know what kind of timing is going to be coming back from the state. When the state gets back, the draft will be sent them, and we're good to go, then we'll be looking at setting the public hearing right away then.
Can't do that until the state approves it.
Right, do you need a motion to at least state that, though?
Pardon me?
Do you need a motion to at least state that we're awaiting state?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So Teresa sent us up to the DNR, and we'll get their comments, and then we'll take it from there. We will have to have a public hearing on it.
If they disagree with any of the changes, do you have to do it over as a first reading again then, or?
No, we don't have to redo it as a first reading. We could at the public hearing just make those changes.
Okay.
All of the language that we're talking about, tweaking, eliminating, revising, that's all discretionary language, so we're not going to have any problems.
I'll make a motion then that we adjourn, unless there's something else.
Do they need to adjourn first, or do we just...
Does it matter?
Do they need to adjourn first?
Yeah, you guys should adjourn first.
I make a motion for planning and zoning to adjourn.
Yes, sir.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
I'll make a motion that city council adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.